Happy resurrected Jesus. That's cool. You see, sometimes Pentecostals do weird things. They scream, they shout. And I've caught myself from time to time, I like stomping on the floor. It's not that I choose or plan to. Usually when I'm, this is family secret, don't tell anybody, Jason. Usually when I'm praying with somebody like I was praying, I'm not just repeating the words that I theologically know, though I do. What I'm waiting for is a release in the Spirit. And many times when I'm praying with you, or whether it's for healing like we're praying, you see, having faith that something is going to do or is happening is different from guessing and hoping something just happened. Does that make sense? So it's not like, okay, now it's done. It's like you're not guessing or gambling in waiting for a witness. So usually what I feel, I could feel like from the bottom of my belly, it's like an EMP. It's charging. I could feel the charge. And you feel like it's charging, and you can feel it. I can feel it. And it gets to a place where it releases. And when it releases, like we're praying for Jian, I could feel it coming out of me. And that's the time where somebody either falls or that. It just came. Can you see that visual picture? So when I'm praying, I'm waiting for that. Sometimes it just like a quick, happens very quick. Sometimes it takes a while. So there's times when it's not happening, you move on. But there are times where I can feel it's charging and you just want to stay in that moment. So, and when sometimes it just comes in various degrees of intensity. So sometimes it becomes so intense that the person is falling and I'm also falling because it's just that strong. And it's just like, it's involuntary. So you go like, ugh! It's more like ething, letting it down to the ground instead of all on you. Does that make sense? So I'm not just being weird Pentecostal. I don't choose to do that, but the most incredible thing is it also enables me to know that something has happened. So when I'm moving away from you, I'm not moving away hoping that something happened. I'm moving away knowing something happened and there is no longer any reason for me to keep on praying because it happened. Does that make sense? So I thought I should explain myself. Okay, so I hope to speak as quickly as possible as I can, because I know a lot of us still have Easter eggs to go and finish hunting or finding. And to make things a little bit easier and moving on forward, I'm going to pick on a little bit from where we stopped last Sunday. Does anybody remember that? Couple of notes. So one of the scriptures that I last read last Sunday was from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Those of you that are joining us for the first time, we're really not much focused on money or talking about money, but we're just trying, hoping to bring some scriptural understanding to help us have breakthroughs, not only in the area of finances, but in every area of our lives. So, anybody on Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18? If you're there, you can read it. Or I'll just read it. You people should buy Bibles. But remember the Lord your God. Okay, this one is an important one. It's a big one. God wants us to be able to remember, which means we live our lives cautiously, thoughtfully, and on purpose. That we're living our lives for Him. Because trouble begins when we forget about Him. When we forget about Him, it becomes all about us. And the moment life is about us, we're not going to go far. So the scripture says, remember the Lord your God. Isn't that awesome? For it is He who gives you ability to produce wealth. Remember that part? Some translation says it is He who gives you the ability to succeed. It is He who gives you the ability to prosper. So if He is the one that gives you the ability to prosper, to succeed, or produce wealth, He's really making sure that you don't forget where you got what you have from. Does that make sense? So the other way He's saying is, I'm the one that gives you the ability to prosper, and don't you ever forget it. Now, there is a freeing principle in that. If all we have came from Him, and nothing we have is of our own, but it comes from Him, it gives us the freedom that we don't need to live in fear of losing what we have. Does that make sense? Amen. You don't need to live in fear of losing what you have, because what you have in the first place came from Him. And the second thing that does is it liberates us to live generous lives. Because what you have to give anyway in the same place came from Him. So why does that liberate us to live generous lives? What is the biggest obstacle we have when it comes to giving? We have a very different way of calculating. In my thinking, if I have $200, and I put $150 in the bucket, I have $50 left. So therefore, in the $50 I have left, I'm not going to be able to feed my family for the week. So if I'm going to feed my family for the week, it would be more sensible I put $5 in the bucket. Then that way I have 195 that will probably meet the needs of the family for the next fortnight. Isn't that a sensible way to think? Now, the problem is that is you just forgot the $200 you got was from God, and that wasn't the last one He had. There's revelation in there. The $200 He gave you was not the last one He had. Anyway, so remember the Lord your God. Why? He is the one that gives you the ability to do what? Produce wealth. Now, how much ability and capacity does He want to give you? What What you need is a good start. But this life is not for about what you need. This life is about what He's called you to do. It's a big difference. Did anybody get that? This life is not about your needs. It's about His purposes in you. It's amazing how much God has always wanted me to go overseas for missions trips. And the most amazing thing is, He's always provided for every one of them, because that's what He needed me to do. Does that make sense? Now, what's wrong with your needs? Nothing, except for the difference that your needs are very minuscule in comparison to the purposes He's got for you. Putting it differently, your needs have a budget which is here. God's purpose, destiny, and call on your life has a budget which is there. Now, here's a cool part. You aligning your life according to His purposes and destiny and calling for you, which is over here, supplies for your needs over here. But your needs over here will never be adequate enough to supply for your purposes over here. Does that make sense to anybody? So, where are you meant to be living your life at? Over here. Why are you here? Because you recognize you are here for a purpose. You recognize you were born for a purpose. And you rededicate and commit your life to meet their purpose. This is the part where all things work together for the good of those that love God and accord according to His purpose. Where? Over here. Over here, you love God. Over here, you're living according to the purpose of God on your life. And the purpose and the vision that God places on your life provides for everything you need, both for that life and for godliness. Does that make sense? So, for example, last year, God says, let's host gathering of the kingdom tribes. If we had looked at that event from a financial standpoint, we would never have done it. But we looked at it from a calling standpoint. And how much money were we left owing after that whole big event, Tony? Gathering of the kingdom tribes. We had no debts with a lot left over, because the purpose meets the need. And this is a thing God's children have to learn. Start living for the purpose, not for the need. Does that make sense? What you were born for will provide for your existence. Your existence will not always provide for your purpose. Does that make sense? So really, the key to it all is the moment you and I start being who we are made to be and doing what we are born to do, we're going to bring ourselves to a breakthrough quicker. Because needs are like paddling in the wilderness. You will linger there and go round and round and round and round for as long as you keep on paddling on that. You see, what we don't understand is that God is so committed to the Great Commission so much that he gave up everything so he can create, make a way for people to be saved. And when we are willing to align our hearts with him to sing the gospel proclaimed, he releases the whole treasures and entirety of the heavenly economy to back you. Let's put it differently. Glenn, God loves you. But he backs and finances his purposes in your life. You understand that? God backs and finances his purposes where? In your life. So what that means at some point is we got to learn to align ourselves with his purposes in our lives. That's where the provision is. You ever wondered the word provision is pro? Vision. Does that explain why most of us don't have it? Because there is something lacking, which is what? Vision. Get the vision, the pro will come. So God provides for his vision. I guess for me, from when I was a younger Christian, my biggest focus was hearing God on the situation, regardless of where things are. If I get a clear leading in my heart that the Lord is saying, Charles, go get a plane, I will start ringing up. I will start hiring pilots. Because if that's what he says, that's what I'm going to commit and focus myself onto. Now, there is also relief in that. If he said it, the onus is up to him to make it happen. Does that make sense? Amen. So if the onus is up to him to make it happen, why should I be stressing and losing my appetite? And this is why the blessing of the Lord makes one what? Rich and does not do what? Does not add any sorrow. What does that mean? It's so awesome, easy, that it takes none of your effort, that you can just enjoy the ride without the fluff and huff and puff. Isn't that just wonderful? It's really, really wonderful. What if the thief steals my car? Well, Lord, you gave it to me. If the thief steals my car, you know where he lives. I'll go back to bed. So the next part we said is, before we move on, I've been making this point for the last few weeks. The Lord gives you strength and the ability. Not only does he do that, but the Lord has given you what? Strength and the ability. To do what? According to that scripture, is to produce wealth. Yeah, these are the words that offend church people. That's why there isn't much wealth around. He gives you the ability and the strength to produce wealth. Why does he want you to have wealth? We said because it is his covenant to you that he saw on oath to your forefathers. Where was the oath? Genesis chapter 12. God has a little conversation with Abraham. He says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and I will make your name great. You know how many times God has taught some people in the Bible that he'll make their name great? Other translations say, I will make your name famous. Now, can you wrap that round your mind, Dion, that God wants your name to be famous? So those of us that have got problems with being famous, get over it. Why would God want to make your name great? To glorify himself. He says to Abraham, I will make your name great. He says to David, I will establish your throne forever and I will make your name great. I will make you famous. Why? It is my covenant with you. So we talked earlier in the class about people that have made the vow of poverty. Well, God has vowed to prosper you, which is quite the opposite, isn't it? His vow is for your prosperity. His vow is for your increase, multiplication, and fruitfulness. So, put differently, if your name doesn't become great, and if you do not become wealth, then God is a liar. This is a problem he's got. Because it's either he said it or he didn't say it. So, for God to prove himself, in Deuteronomy 8:18, to the children of Israel that he is who he says he is and he does what he says he does, he had to manifest it by making them wealthy. Ever wondered the smallest, most powerful nation in the whole world? That's God's covenant with them. That's for the Jews. What does that have to do with us? Well, you've been grafted into that vine, and you share in the same blessing. Does that make sense? Okay, now let's move on. That's where we were on last Sunday. So, moving on to something a little bit not so new, I want us to spend a little bit of time this morning on Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Yeah. That one. Where I come from, we don't call it Ecclesiastes. We call this book The Preacher. So in my language, it's called The Preacher. So none of those tongue-twisting talk. chapter 9, verse 11. This is one of my favorite verses. And I find it sounds even a lot more better in the New Living Translation. Are you ready? So he's saying, I have observed something under the sun. I have observed something else under the sun, implying there's a lot of things he's observed, but this is just one of those other different things. Okay? Ready to hear what he's observed? The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. Everybody say amen to that. Because if winning the race was always up to the fastest runner, then we slowpokes are in trouble. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. Everybody say amen to that. Well, Marco, I'm so relieved that the Iron Man and me, we've got equal ground here to succeed. I'll let you run. I'll catch up in 3 weeks. The wise sometimes go hungry. Say hallelujah to that. And the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. You can all say glory to God to that. Are you following that from the top? I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry. The skillful are not always, and not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. That's a comfort, because where I come from, they didn't have many schools. Now, this is where the business ends to this verse. It is all decided by chance. No, I'll teach you to like it in a minute. It is all decided by chance and being in the right place at the right time. So this guy is saying the key to prosperity, the key to breakthrough is not because you are the fastest runner, it's not because you are intelligent or skillful or educated. Well, all those are good, helpful things, but by the end of the day, what will make the biggest difference is you learning to be in the right place at the right time. Because most often, the brilliant, the fastest, and the most incredibly gifted people have a tendency of being in a wrong place. So what that means is our abilities, our strengths cannot never give us the breakthrough or that opportunity to produce wealth. By the end of the day, it is decided by God. And this is why it says, remember the Lord, he is the one that gives you strength to produce wealth. So what that means is the ability to succeed, to prosper, and to do better is not in our own selves. It's not in our own giftings and abilities. Well, those giftings and abilities does help, but does not always guarantee success. Because if it was the case, how many educated people do you know that aren't doing any better? So what we're saying is God gives you the strength and the ability. But time and chance, as the scripture version says, time and chance happen to us all. which means one thing everybody has in common, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, skilled or unskilled, you all have time. What you all have? Time. And the most incredible thing is, it's amazing. Each one of us has 24 hours in a day. But what makes the difference by the end of the day is what you choose to do with the 24 hours you got. Or what you choose not to do with the 24 hours you've got. So the greatest equalizer here is we all have in common. I did talk about earlier in the super class that those that he gave 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent, he didn't expect the same result out of them, but he expected the same level of productivity. So what we all have? Time. The difference is what we choose to do with our time. Are we being fruitful with our time? Are we being productive with our time? How are we utilizing and investing in our time and with our time? Are we wasting our time with people? Or are we investing our time in people? In praying and counseling people, one thing I learned many years ago is it is possible to waste your time in trying to help people. Do you hear that? You can waste your time trying to help people. So I said to people, I am for you and I want to help you. But I'm as committed to this process to the extent you are. You bring 2% to the thing, I'm just going to bring 2% too. You bring 110% to the process, I'm going to bring 110% to the process. Okay, so number one thing in that point is time. And chance, which means it's not dependent upon you, it is dependent upon God. This translation says, learning to be in the right place at the right time. What does that sound like? It sounds like aligning your life and your purposes with his life and his purposes. Does that make sense? When we learn to align our life and time and our purposes with his life and his purposes, then we are guaranteed to be where? In the right place at the right time. Why is this important? A few weeks ago, I did share with you that the kingdom of God works in times and seasons. Anybody remember that talk? So if the kingdom of God works in times and seasons, it is incumbent upon you to be in the right time, in the right place, in the right season. Because if you are in the wrong place in the right season, you are misplaced from the provision of your purposes. Your provision becomes like a letter with a wrong address. What happens to it? It bounces. It's sent back to sender. Doesn't God know where you are? Of course it does. Can he redirect your mail to the wrong place you are at? Absolutely not. Why can't he? What is he backing? His purposes where? In your life. So if your purpose, his purposes in your life are here in the barn, Where is he directed your angel to be to release that? Where you are supposed to be. God is most found where you are supposed to be, not where you should be, or not where you are. Remember that little conversation? Adam, where are you? Doesn't God know where he is? Well, he's not where he's meant to be spiritually, for starters. So he would call him to attention so he can reevaluate and discern and come to a conclusion that I'm in the wrong place. Why? So he can make his way back to where he should be. Does that make sense? Now, David puts it this way. Psalm 23. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. What do other versions say? That's key. The Lord is my shepherd means I'm always where he wants me whenever he wants me because I follow him to where I should be. Did anybody get that? So, because I'm always where he wants me, when he wants me, and I'm always where I should be, I will never lack anything. Did you just get that? What is the key to him never lacking? He's always in the right place at the right time. He's always where God wants him and where he should be. Does that make sense? So, and this is why the guy is saying, the Lord is my best friend, which means I have an intimate relationship with God. I am correctly aligned with him. And he is my shepherd. He leads me. He takes me to places I should be. And because he leads me, he takes me to places I should be. I'm never in a wrong place at any time. I'm always in the right place at the right time. So which means in the season of rain, in the season of harvest, in the season of provision, I'm always in the right place. I learned that in Africa, where we do not have running taps back then, and we have a little house with corrugated iron sheet like this one, and when it's raining, it's time to collect rainwater. So you get your bucket and put it by the fall of your roof. And the trick in collecting your water is watching your bucket, making sure it's lined up with the trajectory of the waterfall. A little bit late this way, the water skips your bucket and goes over. A little bit too much over there, the water comes under and you get nothing. So it is making sure that your bucket is correctly lined up with the trajectory of the waterfall. And this is what a picture David is saying. I'm just always centered in him and on him. And when he pours, I'm just in a place within the catchment. And we read on. He offers me a resting place. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brooks of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me paths to God's pleasures. Isn't that good? And leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of the deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have me. Your authority is my strength and my peace. They comfort me. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I will never be lonely, for you are near me, for you are near. You become my delicious feast. Even when my enemies dare to fight, you give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Okay, who's saying these words? David. These words are coming from a man who earlier, the Bible says, during the time when kings got to war, David stayed home, sunbaking on his balcony, and he saw a little woman called Bathsheba and landed him into a lot of trouble that he almost lost the kingdom. Using the contrast. So being in the wrong place opens you up to trouble. So David knows this firsthand because once upon a time he was in a wrong place. As the king, he was meant to be in battle, but he was at home. And that opened a path and an opportunity that almost cost him the kingdom. Having learned his lesson and made a resolve in his heart to always be in the right place, to always be where he should be when he should, he can also testify to the blessings and the fruitfulness and the efficiency on his life. Does that make sense? And perhaps this is the same point Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 tries to make. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Which means at some point in your life, you have to learn to be walking by the impulses of the Holy Spirit other than your carnal impulses. When you let the Holy Spirit lead you and show you where you should be, he will always lead you in the right place, correct place, where you are positioned for your blessing. Does that make sense? So your key to living a successful, prosperous, breakthrough life depends a lot on your willingness to allow God to lead you so you can be in the right place at the right time. Does that make sense? Now, because you've had too much, I'm just going to give you a few free points. So, we're talking about where do you need to be? The right place. When? The right time. Meaning it is possible to be in the wrong place at the right time or being in the right place at the wrong time. It is the willingness to be led. And that is so important that the whole Bible spends some time to bring about the sons of Issachar, whose special skills was understanding the times and the seasons and knowing what Israel ought to do. So something that comes with being in the right place at the right time, it unlocks revelation of what you need to be doing. Did you understand that? It locks, unlocks what? Revelation. Do you remember when the Lord is talking about blessing Abraham and making his name great? He tells him to do one thing. Can you get up and go to the place that I'm going to give you? Walk the land, the length and the breadth of the land, because there I will show you. Remember when the Lord was talking to Jeremiah about the potter's house? Get up, go to the potter's house. When you are there, I will show you something. So being in position, being in place, it connects you with the purpose, and that what releases the downflow of understanding and revelation. Does that make sense? And this is where we came up with a fantastic word, prayer walking, meaning you are on site praying, engaging and connecting with the purposes of God in that place. I was thinking about that the other day. The day, the night of the auction of this property, we didn't have any money and all that, and we thought God said he wanted us to buy this house without money. And we came up with an idea. Let's go to the house. So we drove from where we lived and went to the boundary on the fence there, and we stood by the fence. Why? We are on the place that God is speaking to us, and in aligning ourselves in that place, we became to a place of getting revelation. So when we stood by the fence up there, we weren't allowed to come in here because we'll be trespassing. I'm saying, Lord, we don't have any money. The auction is tomorrow. And instantly, I see this vision. A lot of cars were parked on the street there. I'm like, Lord, this is interesting. What are these cars? Are these cars for the auction? He says, no, Charles, these cars are the parents waiting to pick their kids from the event you're running. Did anybody understand that? Somehow, in the mind of God, I already had the property, and I'm already running a kids program, and it's all happening, and the parents of these kids are outside waiting for their children to finish what I'm doing with them on a property I do not own and I don't have money for. But we engaged with the purpose. Funny enough, it would have been about a month later. I'm walking, I'm seeing this row of cars. And the kids, a bunch of kids swimming in the swimming pool and having a youth, whatever they were doing. And I took a picture and said, that's exactly what I saw. So being in the right place puts you in touch with his purposes. Does that make sense? Which means being in the wrong place puts you where? Disengaged, disconnected, and out of touch. And that's where it becomes difficult to have a sense of what God is saying. Here's one of the most common things I hear. People saying, I'm struggling, I can't hear God. Maybe you need to reposition where you are. Does that make sense? Now, I won't just go without saying a few things on here. So, if time, chance, and opportunity happens to everybody, and if this is a question of being in the right place at the right time, what's the justification of the most biggest Christianese ever? I am waiting on God. called for, I'm in a wrong place. So if waiting on God is called for, I'm in the wrong place, you're going to be waiting a long time. So maybe we should retrace our steps and be where we should be. Now here's the second point I want you to understand. Remember, it is being in the right place at the right time. So in waiting on God, it means one of the two things are not in place. One is either it's a wrong time, meaning we are anxious, we are impatient, we came early. Definitely not him, because we know he's never late. He's always on time. God is there when he means to be there. So if we're waiting, it's got nothing to do with him. Is that a very tough spiritual truth? Okay? So probably about the right time. When do you know it's the right time? When things happen. That is helpful, but for some of us, our right time was 6 years ago. But we've not positioned ourselves. Probably here's one thing that I'll bring across. Today, tell your neighbor, today. Today is preparation for tomorrow's opportunities. Today is preparation for tomorrow's opportunities. So how you choose to live today will determine whether you come into your opportunities tomorrow. How you live today will determine whether you are prepared for the opportunities tomorrow. So the time in between the purposes of God, the time in between the purposes of God is training time, is training day, is preparation day. The time in between the purposes of God is investment day, is education day. Does that make sense? Now, the problem for the most of us is in between the purposes of God on our lives, we are busy twiddling our fingers. So when the fullness of time comes, we are unprepared. It's amazing how many Christians I've heard give dreams like, I had a dream, I was naked, then somebody came in and I felt not ready. Have you had that kind of dreams? Which pretty much the whole point of it is, the bus came and I wasn't ready. The train came and I wasn't ready. We were not prepared for the purposes of God in our lives, because in the seasons in between, we didn't take time to educate ourselves. So, what to do in seasons between purposes? You ready? Improve yourself. Esther didn't just wake up one day and became queen. She spent 12 months beauty preparation, marinating her so she smells just like the queen, king likes. Flavoring her up so her kisses were like strawberry. I'll let your imagination keep rolling. I'll end there. So in between the purpose, she spent her time preparing. You see, Jesus spent his life in ministry for how long? 3 years. Spent 30 years preparing. Jesus spent 30 years preparing for 3 years. You want to spend 3 years preparing for 30 years. Can anybody see just how out of whack that is? Joseph spent 30 years in the dungeons, in the pits, in prison, preparing to be the governor of Egypt. So, in between the purposes, improve yourself. Remember what we've been talking about. The key to success, one of them was be better at being who you are. Improve yourself, better yourself. Learn something new. It's amazing how many people that saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Please don't be an old dog. Learn a new trick. Learn how to roar and play dead or something. Learn how to fetch. You see, for some of us, maybe it's time we might need to start reading a little bit more. Enroll in a course. iPad for dummies or something like that. Texting for idiots. Learn something. As is, some seniors go to Facebook for seniors. Go learn something. Enroll yourself into something. And this is my favorite one. In between times, the best preparation is serve someone who's there. In between times, serve your pastor. If you're waiting to become a pastor, the best training you can ever do, Gian, is come serve me. You gotta learn how to release the anointing firsthand, better than what's in the books. Then I'll take you behind the curtain and show you the tricks of the trade. The secular world recognizes that and they call it apprenticeship. They call it traineeship. Church people think they can just leap and criticize what somebody is doing and they're going to become better pastors one day. No, dummy, it doesn't work that way. Oh, did you see the message he preached? Just you wait until I take on for the pulpit. No. In between the season. So what I want you to see is from God's perspective, He's not saying wait. He's saying learn, prepare, better, equip yourself. Does that make sense? I think the best things I've ever learned in life is by serving someone else. It's amazing. If you want to learn how to use the bobcat, running around for Paul will teach you amazing things. Who did it, Ross?
It does.
You see, sometimes learning something new is like dropping your engagement or wedding ring in a toilet bowl at a public park.
Please explain.
Okay. You're at the park and the toilet, you're in a moment where you gotta go and you go, and for some reason the ring drops in there. What you have is something your husband took out a loan for, to buy it for you. It's so precious, it's so dear. It represents your union, your life, and everything you have together as a couple. And it's dropped in the toilet. Are you going to flush the toilet and leave it? Because you are trying to use the toilet paper and clean yourself, that's when it caught in the toilet paper and dropped in the thing. So that is before you flushed. I'm a very good graphic artist. And now you look in there and you see it. Chop! It's half recessed in the... in the party. So now that you got a choice to make, what is that ring worth to you? And sometimes learning something new is about willingness to do the most unsavory things for the greater benefit and for the better reward. So sometimes people that have got the skills, the abilities that we need to learn from, they are not our favorite people. They are people we are offended with. They are people we are angry and upset with. So for you to get to a place of learning something that is going to bring a breakthrough and benefit you, you got to be willing to suck it up. You got to be willing just to dig in there and just pull it out. Have I explained enough, Ross? Because I hear too many people, they are offended with everyone and offended with everything. It is at the expense of their own breakthrough. Get over your hang-ups for your own good. I know I'm taking long. So sometimes we might just need to swallow our pride and do what we need to do for our own good. Months ago, I think last year, I talked about a message I preached on dealing with your financial wounding. And one of the things is we got to deal with our own wounding. Don't let your wounding get into the way of what God wants to do in you and for you and through you. Do we hear that? Do not allow your wounding to get in the way of your breakthrough. Most people will never get to where they need to be because they feel wounded and angry with everything and everyone. Be willing to put up with minor inconveniences for the sake of the grand prize. And sometimes, in the season, in between the purposes, some of us might need to get our hands dirty, roll up our sleeves and go to work, and stop wasting our opportunities that God has given us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I finished, but I just feel like we should pray a little bit or some give some people an opportunity. You're one of those where you feel you've dropped your ring in the toilet. And your wounding is preventing you from going to a place of your breakthrough. Let's just close our eyes for a second. It's amazing how many people over the years have told me their dreams of serving God and what they want to do. And when I've given them a path to help them to get where they need to be, they are the least interested. Is there anybody that has got something you need to learn and you are very offended with? I just ask the Lord to give you the grace to be able to navigate through that, get through that and get over that, so you can experience the true freedom that would empower you to come into the fullness of what God has. I just pray for God to give you the grace to be humble, to be teachable. And I release the anointing and the spirit of the sons of Issachar over your life, over this church, that you may be able to know the times and the seasons and have a revelation of what you ought to be doing in these seasons of times in between. The seasons in between are to prepare you, are for training, are for preparation. What do you need to be doing? What do you need to be learning? How do you need to be investing your time in the seasons in between? And I pray that the Lord will give you the grace and the understanding and the wisdom, the diligence, and the stewardship to be able to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.